Good morning. For those that do not know me here, I am the children's pastor, and today I get the privilege to speak on hope. Our distinctive clearly affirms that we long to be a hopeful community. Most of us see hope as a very positive word, but not all. This reminds me of a story. I was in a living room with some friends, and we were talking about the word hope. We were laughing, and it was a hopeful situation. And there was a boy in the room who was playing, and apparently he was listening, because he had this grumpy look on his face. And he says, "I'm glad you guys see hope is a good word, because I don't." We were surprised, and we said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, I really hoped for Lego for Christmas, but I didn't get it." And you think hope's a good word? Just like this boy, there are many people in the Bible who had outcomes that turned out differently than they might have expected. For example, look at Moses. He had hoped to enter the Promised Land, but he only got to see it, not cross onto it, which is referenced in Deuteronomy 34:4. It was Joshua that entered. There are many other examples like this. So it seems like we should define hope together. According to Hebrew and Greek words translated, hope is an indication of certainty. The Bible defines it really well in Romans 8:24-25, which will be just behind me. "For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait for it eagerly." We are a hopeful community at PCC. Let's take a quick look at our distinctive before we dive into 1 Peter. A hopeful community. We seek to be a people who live with an expectant eye on Christ's second coming. We are encouraged in this present life to persevere with the blessed hope that when he comes, we shall be like him. Just as all creation groans eagerly, awaiting her redemption, we too acknowledge our weakness and imperfection until he comes. With Christ, we share with those who suffer and rejoice in hope and victory of his return when all suffering ends. Living with one eye on his return will keep us from two extremes of discouragement and arrogance. This hope compels us to be watchful, prayerful, patient, and prepared. This morning, we will explore what God has done for us to secure a living hope and how we can respond. For some, anxiety and despair seem all too familiar, even for those that follow Jesus. But in many ways, what believers are experiencing right now all over the world is no different to what Peter and his audience were encountering 2,000 years ago. Life was hard for the first century Palestinians, and to be honest, it can be hard for us. It's into the human reality of suffering that Peter writes this hope filled letter. If you have your Bibles here today, please turn to 1 Peter 3:1-9, or you can look on the screen behind me. We'll have it up. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We have three main points out of this text today. And point number one is going to be hopelessness keeps us from praising. In this letter, Peter is writing to Christians that were suffering and were in hopeless situations. They were being persecuted for their faith, and they'd been scattered from their homes and from their families. Not only were they suffering, but Peter, who is writing this letter, too was suffering. He was faced with painful trials when he wrote this letter. Jesus had earlier told him that he was going to die a martyr's death at a very young age for following him. So where is the hope in that? You're going to die young. But he's following Jesus, and he didn't run. So what's happening in the start of verse 3? Why is Peter telling these believers to praise God? It would seem that this is not the response one might have. The situation in itself was bleak. When you pause and think about it, we get in these hopeless situations where we're so consumed because it's so bleak. There seems like there's no way out in our own strength. But Peter is reminding the people in this text that they are not hopeless. And why? Because they have been saved by Jesus. They have been saved, and he is reminding them to praise him for their great salvation. This reminds me of a time 2 years ago. Many of you probably remember this. I had pneumonia and was extremely sick, and many of you were praying for me. My father-in-law came to visit, and he also had pneumonia. And my son also came down with pneumonia, and all three of us were in and out of the hospital, and there were many challenges happening at that time in our life. And so I cling to the Word of God, a text like this, and was reminded to praise God. Now, when you're feeling weak, that's not always the first thing on your mind. But I started reading the Bible, and it started to come alive to me. And I went into my kitchen, and I got down on my knees. And the song that came to my mind was this. You probably know this old hymn. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because you live, all fear is gone. Because I know that you hold the future, life is worth the living. Just because you live. This is just like the Holy Spirit, right? He reminds us to praise him. And in my story, after I praised him, a couple hours later, one of the ladies, you know who you are in the congregation, showed up at my home in Abbotsford and brought meals for many of you. And this really encouraged me that I was not alone in the journey. Just like Peter here in this text is reminding the believers that they're not alone in the journey. Because in his great mercy, in Christ's great mercy, he has given us a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. Hopelessness keeps us from praising, but praising keeps us from hopelessness. Point one was bad, but point two is even, no, it's not better, but it's good. A living hope is found in a living Christ. A living hope is found in a living God. In his great mercy, back to the scripture here, in his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter praises God because of what we've been saved to. We have been saved to a living hope. Through Jesus, we have access into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. That sounds unbelievable, right? In a world where it seems like everything perishes, spoils, and fades. Peter can write this way because he recognizes that hope is not dead. Why? Hope is not dead because Christ is not dead. Our hope is a living hope because Christ not only suffered and died for our sins, but he rose from the grave so that we too are assured of rising with him. He took our suffering upon him so that we could have access to his hopelessness, and not to his hopelessness, to his living hope. Just making sure you're on the ball here. So this reminds me of a quick story, too. I had really been embraced by Christ in my life, and it was undeniable to me. I hadn't always lived for him, and so he just made me really aware of his hope and just his love for me. And shortly thereafter, I went on a missions trip to New York City, where we were bringing hope to people on the streets. And we were living in Harlem. And there in Harlem, it was really dark and quite scary. So what we were going to do is talk to prostitutes about this living hope in the resurrection of Jesus. How do you do that? So we started in the church, and we just started together praising God with the believers. We didn't even go down to the streets yet, and we were just praising him. And all of a sudden, a lady of the night actually walks into the church. And God just gave me this, I can't even express this love for her. I feel sorry for her love, but the thoughts that entered my mind was, she has this father that created her, that loves her so much, that sent Jesus to die for her so that she could have a living hope. And so we had the honor of getting to know her. She spent quite a bit of time with us telling us her story. And one day, she invites us into her home. But what we did not realize is that her home was under the streets in the sewers. So a group of believers, we went down there, and I really saw hopelessness to the extreme. We walked down, and there in the corner was a baby, alone. And the baby looked like it had been crying for hours. Now, you can only imagine my first thought was, I want to rescue that baby. I want to save it right now. I want to just grab it. But my next thought was, Jesus wants to rescue that baby more than me. That's why he dies. That's why he rose again. And not only does he want to rescue that baby, but he wants to rescue that mother. And so 4 months passed, getting to know this lady, and the church had the opportunity to lead her to Christ. She now has the same living hope that Peter's talking about today, because God is not dead, he's alive, and she believes. And I have to tell you that I found out recently that she's now a missionary across the world, and her baby, who is now 21, is also a follower of Jesus. Talk about a living hope that is found in a living God. So far, today's text has reminded us of 2 points. One, hopelessness keeps us from praising, but praising God for our salvation keeps us from hopelessness. And two, a living hope is found in a living God. Even if our circumstances seem hopeless, we can be assured that he is our living hope because Jesus is alive with us now and has secured a spot for us in heaven where there is no more suffering. And so point number 3 is having faith in a living hope. We are shielded by God's power. The living hope of which Peter speaks about encompasses both now and eternity. God also chose us before the creation of the world and longs to embrace us with his living hope, which is referenced in many passages of the Bible. Ephesians 1, 1 Corinthians 1, and in Romans 8. In today's text, Peter reminds believers that the hope of our present and future rests upon Jesus. Also, in John 16:33, it says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Today's text reminds us of the guaranteed promise in heaven. We know where we are going as a result of him conquering death. But in the meantime, we also recognize that sufferings have come to prove the genuineness of our faith, of greater worth than gold, as it says in verse 7. And ultimately, this faith leads us to a hope-filled life where we are shielded by God's power. We're shielded right now by God's power. Isn't it interesting that Peter reminds us in this text to have faith? See, we recognize that Peter's not perfect. Do you remember back in Matthew 14 when Peter walks on water with Jesus? Does anyone remember that? So Jesus is actually reminding Peter to have greater faith. The disciples were out in a boat, and Jesus was not with them. He was alone with his Father praying. And the winds pick up, and I'm sure the disciples were probably frightened, and Jesus walks on water. And even though the disciples had spent all this time with them, you would think they would recognize him, but what happened? They were terrified because they thought he was a ghost. But immediately, and I love how it says that in the Bible, immediately Jesus recognized their fear, and he says, "Do not be afraid. It is I." And Peter, I'm paraphrasing this, but Peter responds, "Lord, if it's you, then tell me to come to you." And Jesus, of course, says, "Come." So Peter gets out. Faith is happening here. Faith in Christ. He gets out and he steps on the water and starts to walk. But then what starts to happen? His hopeless circumstance of walking on water, who can do that, starts to consume him, and he's focusing on the winds around him, and he starts to sink. But I love this part. Jesus still rescues him, even though he doesn't walk on water. Jesus goes to him, brings him back in the boat, and says, "Ye of little faith." Personally, if Jesus told me I had little faith, I would be pretty happy. Because it's Jesus who rescues. It's Jesus who saves. He's the living God. And so Jesus got Peter back into the boat, and they all started praising him. Peter's text today reminds us that God has provided in Christ finished work and indwelling of the Holy Spirit everything you and me have to live with hope. But it's not automatic. How do we respond? Faith. In Hebrews 11:1, we'll probably have the verse behind me here, it says that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance in what we do not see. Sounds similar to the definition of hope, doesn't it? Assurance in Christ of who we do not see now, but we have the Holy Spirit that reminds us. Peter reminds believers to have faith in Christ's salvation and resurrection. This is our living hope. Jesus gives us the power to be a people of praise until heaven's wonderful promise, where there is no more suffering. So So in close, at PCC, we live into this reality, don't we? As a people that long to put our hope in Jesus Christ, we support one another, and we pray for one another, and we carry each other's burdens to the one that saves, resurrects, and restores. If you don't know this Jesus described today to be your living hope, feel free to chat with me or another pastor, because Jesus is just so amazing, and I know he wants to meet you there. And if you do know Jesus, perhaps he wants to renew your passion for salvation, because a living hope in a living Christ makes us a people of praise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can be still and know that you are God. You are God that sent your Son Jesus to this earth to suffer. But it didn't just end there. Jesus, you showed us victory. Thank you, God, that Jesus, you rose from the dead, so that we too can rise. Thank you, God, that we can praise you, that we can praise you through our sufferings, that in praising you, we can experience your joy. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit that sends us peace that passes all understanding, joy. Thank you, God, for a living hope that is found in you, because you are a living God. We pray that as we wait, that you would help us to step in faith, believing that you are the one that brings us hope and brings hope to the people that we love. And so in this day, God, we praise you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.